Hi, this is Kendra Adachi from the Lazy Genius podcast, and I am so excited that the new KFC chicken nuggets are here. You have never had nuggets like these before. 100% white meat, hand-breaded in KFC's original recipe, and absolutely delicious. They have become a go-to favorite the kids love to fight over, and I hope they make dinner easier and more fun for you too. Order new Kentucky Fried Chicken Nuggets, now available at participating KFCs near you.
When you have a boy, you just have one penis to worry about. But when you have girls, you have to worry about all the penises.
Welcome to Manic Rambling Spiral.
What was that?
I don't know. But it was unplanned.
That was perfect. I'm Heather B. Armstrong.
And I'm John R. Bray.
And this week, we normally prepare an outline and a topic for these episodes. And we meticulously research all of these struggles that we go through. And normally we have just like a rough outline of how things are going to go. And today we decided that we were just going to Skype each other. Do people know that we Skype each other?
I don't know.
I guess what we're doing is we're pulling back the curtain this week.
It's like behind the scenes, right?
Is it too early for that?
Oh, I don't think so. I mean, really none of our struggles are real. Like you said, we just research everything and then piece things together as we go.
Our children are cardboard cutouts.
True, but they're cute.
And I'm also, let me take a sip of my yerba mate tea as we delve in.
Yerba what?
Yerba mate. I think I'm saying that correctly. As we delve into this, what is probably going to be an actual manic rambling spiral. Hold on one second. Okay.
Oh, look at that. Full sound. That was great.
No, we haven't talked this week at all, really.
True.
And your week last week was pretty intense.
Awesome. Yes. I had a couple good weeks in a row, just, you know, back-to-back company. My parents are divorced, so they don't visit together. So one comes down and then the other one comes down. And, you know, it was 10 days of company and holidays and awesome. And somewhere in the middle of all that, I shattered my phone. Oh. It was one of those periods of time where just when you think something else can't go wrong, it does.
Did you get your phone fixed?
No. You know, whenever you swipe, you feel your finger either being cut or running across bumps. You don't really know. But I live like, I don't know, 30 or 40 minutes from the nearest Apple store. It's just not convenient.
Oh my God.
I know.
You know, when people will post photos of their phone.
Oh yeah.
And if I ever see a shattered phone, first of all, a shattered phone is ugh, like, I can't, like, how do you live? How do you live? I don't know. And the second one is when people post screenshots and like, and their the battery power on their phone is less than 10%.
Like, oh, the anxiety that you feel.
I'm like, why are you posting something to Twitter? Why are you not charging your phone? What's going on?
Like you feel it for them.
Oh, it literally triggers a feeling of panic in me. Like I travel, like I don't even leave the house without an extra battery for my phone. That's how bad it is.
I didn't used to do that, but a friend of mine always had a battery pack and I would steal it from her to use. And it's so handy. And then I don't have to worry. Otherwise, my phone dies so quickly anyway.
Really?
I'll make it until, I don't know, maybe 5 o'clock before I have to charge it. And it's not that I sit there and use it all day, but I might stream music or text or check email, but it just doesn't last. So without the battery pack, I feel like I can't use it.
I've had very many stern conversations with Lita. You know how you're supposed to make them a functioning human being, you know?
Like already they're supposed to be functioning?
Well, you know, like wash your hands after you use the bathroom, say please, say thank you.
The basics.
Also, your phone, sweetie, don't ever let your phone get below 3%, okay? Okay.
3%? That's actually being pretty generous.
Oh, it's being super generous because it has happened on several occasions where it gets the battery is so dead that when you plug it in, it doesn't come on for like 20 minutes.
Oh, right. It has to do its full recovery period. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, well, her phone's gone. Like, now her, oh, okay, her phone is completely dead. And so she and I are both panicking at that point. And my basic lesson to her is over 30% and we're good. Now, if we can get it above 70%.
Doesn't she plug it in at night?
She finishes using it, sets it down wherever. And then we'll wake up in the morning and be like, huh, there's 3% left. It drives me crazy. Because when my phone gets below 70, like, I'm like, my heart starts to like palpitate. Like, oh no, oh no.
Oh, I'm good until about 50. But really? I don't know if we've even talked about phone usage. Lexton got his phone, I don't know, last spring or something, because we were going to be living in separate places and he needed one to communicate with mom and dad, et cetera. And
that's why Lita has hers as well.
Right. I mean, I never had, but I don't even think they existed. They would have been too big for me to carry, but he doesn't care. I just looked at it last night and his little iMessage app has an 11 by it. So I pull it open and some of them are like 2 weeks old. Or someone will text him, a friend will text him, and he'll read it and then just set it down. I'm like, do you want to respond to them? No, it wasn't a question. Like, okay, that's not how this works. You know, you have to have. But then if he wants to communicate with someone, he's all over it. Mm-hmm. But otherwise, he doesn't answer it. He doesn't respond to texts. And I'll ask him, did you see that I texted you when you were with mom? Yeah, I saw it.
Oh, that's so frustrating.
It's yes.
Yes. She'll be with her dad and I'll text her and she will not text me back for 2 days. And it's like, dude, she has a phone contract. We printed out a phone contract that she signed.
Oh yeah. That's a good idea.
Oh yeah. It's super, super locked down. Like, we have non-disclosure agreements in there. Like,
what?
Like, she's supposed to respond to our phone calls and our text messages. And if she loses or breaks the phone, she has to replace it. And she can't use it past a certain point at night. And she can't use it before a certain point in the morning. You know, sometimes it gets lax on vacations and whatnot. But
sure.
I will watch her. First of all, it's a disgusting thing. It's like, I look at it sometimes and I'm like, did you bake a pancake with this thing? Like, what is this substance on your phone? Gross. And then I'll just find it in the most random places. And I'm like, this is the lifeline to everything. Like, do you know what the technology that is held in this device, child? You can't just set this down anywhere.
I just expected there would be, not that I expected he would respect it necessarily, but there'd be more interest. I mean, maybe we're at a point where they just take it for granted because they're so commonplace. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not like I covet my phone, but when I leave the house, I make sure that I have it. You know, when I leave somewhere else, I make sure that I bring it home. Like, I pay attention to these things because everything is on there. That's how everyone reaches me. I don't have a landline because it's 2016, Heather. But he doesn't. I mean, he'll get in the car after school. I'm like, do you have your phone? Ah, it's in my locker. That's okay. I'll get it tomorrow. No, you're going to go back in and get it now.
Right.
Because that's how people communicate with you.
Yes.
You know, and then you get the big eye roll and the sigh. I'm like, okay, you didn't even pay for that phone. Go get your free technology now.
I read a Medium article about, it was like, don't call me a millennial. And it was by someone who was, there's an overlapping terminology, I think, for Generation X, Generation Y, and then millennials. And this person was making the argument that he was Generation Y, and that among us, a lot of us, basically from like 1975 to the mid 80s, a lot of us are so attached to our phones and don't like to be called, which we have discussed very recently.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Because this technology did not exist when we were growing up in our formative years, and we're afraid that it's going to go away, you know?
That was the explanation.
That was the explanation.
Like, we fear for the day that it's gone.
Yeah. We fear for the day that this, because we lived without it and because of what the enhancement that it has given into our lives. I mean, there are detriments, of course. Like, I can't write. I cannot hold a pen anymore because of my phone.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. I have like a repetitive stress injury from using my phone, and I can't write I have.
It's got to be phone plus keyboard, though. Right?
Yes. I mean, yes. It's how I sit at my desk. And it's all I should go see a physical therapist and have them reshape my body. But
we could all benefit from that.
I remember having a conversation with Lita where I said, okay, listen to me. You were alive. You were actually alive and on this earth when we were debating. People were actually debating whether or not it was a good idea to put a camera and music on a phone. Like, you were alive. That discussion was taking place. And she's like, what? No. I'm like, yes. You were alive before the first iPhone came out. Like, this is so recent. And she just, there is the no appreciation for it. And that's just something we have to live with because it's not something we can instill in them.
Right. Well, I mean, when you look back when they were, you know, when Lita and Lexton were, I don't know, 5 and 6, we had cell phones. We had smartphones. Mm-hmm. That's what adults have. That's what people have is a smartphone.
Yes.
So it's not anything significant. It's like they don't really get impressed by the fact that we drive a car because it's an everyday thing.
Yes. And I don't know if Lexton is on any of the social platforms, but all of Lita's friends have YouTube accounts and Instagram accounts. I believe the terms of service, I'm actually certain of this, is that you have to be 13 in order to be on Instagram.
Right.
And
Facebook, right?
Yeah, I think so. Okay. And she told me that she wanted for her 13th birthday, she said, you don't have to get me anything. I just want my own Instagram account. And I was like, deal. Done.
Lexton is not on any social media. He hasn't really cared. It's funny that you bring it up because within the last week or two, he said, what do you think of Instagram? I'm like, oh, it's, you know, I like it. He's like, okay, everybody has it. I kind of think I'm just going to get one. You know, this really casual, like, it's about time. And at first I was sort of opposed because of that. But then I thought, well, if you make it private, right, then I just don't see him digging up nasty content to follow just because it's not his personality. Maybe that's ignorant or wishful thinking, but I don't know. I kind of feel like if he's interested in it and if it's something that friends of his are doing and he can just connect with them, then what's the harm, you know?
Yeah. Well, and I get that. And I think I'm just worried just because the internet is a very, very scary place. Everyone is a sociopath. And I give a talk about this because she came to me. She was, I think she was 9 at the time, 9 or 10, and said that she wanted a YouTube account and a Twitter, a Instagram account. And I didn't take her seriously. And I was like, really? What are you going to call these? And she says, I'm going to call it Deuce Jr.
That would go over really well.
I was like, okay, let me see. In the metaphor that I came up with was like, let's say OJ Simpson's son, who has no idea what people think of his father, decides he's going to set up an Instagram account and call it OJ Jr. And please leave your opinions about me and my father in the comment section below. It was like, what do I tell her about the internet? Like, how do I prepare her for what could possibly happen in a comment section, you know?
Does she still, I mean, obviously she knows that you are Deuce, but does she still not know that there are people out there that might have a dislike for you?
She knows. I've had a long conversation with her about that. Yeah. And I've even said to her, like, there are some really awful things that have been written about me that you're going to stumble across. And I don't know how you're going to feel about it, but it's out there. And It's a job hazard of mine. But she wants me, she is actively asking me to put pictures of her on my Instagram account.
Interesting. And she, for a while there, she wasn't,
right?
I feel like I remember a few years ago that she was very opposed.
She was opposed.
Or kind of on and off.
She's actually where the point where Marlo's okay if I take a iPhone photo of her, but if I break out my big camera to take a photo of Marlo, no, she just does not want to be on a big camera.
Just on principle, doesn't matter what you're going to do with it.
Yeah, and Lita was that age and she experienced that as well. And when Lita was that age, I remember having a conversation with a fellow blogger of mine whose children were in their teens. And I said, well, how do they feel about it? And she says, you know what? They actually are really sad that I don't write about them more. They're like, well, why don't you write about me? And I was like, oh, that's an interesting shift.
He or she used to write about them and doesn't? Or
she would, like, she's kind of like my website, where she would write about her life and occasionally include stories of her kids. And then her kids would read it and go, well, why don't you write more about us? Like, why aren't we at the top of, like, your publishing schedule? Like,
right, we're a big part of your life.
Yes. So she's actively like, hey, mom, come film this and put it on your Instagram account. And I'm like, no. I'm going to curate what I'm putting of you on my Instagram
right.
account.
I mean, I understand it. You know, she is probably the same for her that, well, she knows she's a big part of your life, but it's also her own way of kind of documenting her adventures. But you're doing the documenting.
Yes. And she also, I went to the White House Correspondents' Dinner last year, and there were some very famous Vine and YouTube stars there. And
I remember that.
Yeah, and she was much more impressed that, far more impressed that Tyler Oakley was going to be there, a YouTube star, than the fact that I was going to be in the same room as the president. She lost her mind when she found out that Tyler Oakley was going to be there. He was invited by Arianna Huffington as well as I was, so we were sitting near each other and mingling, and I approached him and we said hello to each other, and he was phenomenal at what he does. Let me just say that. He is phenomenal in person. And I said, I'm sure you get this all the time. And here I am, the mommy blogger, being completely stereotypical, but my child thinks that you are just, you're amazing. And he was like, really? And he knew her name. Like, he had researched all of the people on the list of the invite. He knew her name. He's like, here, would you like me to do a video? And I was like, absolutely. So he filmed himself with me in the background going, hi, Lita, it's Tyler Oakley. I'm here with your mom, the queen. I really can't wait to meet you. Love you, sweetie. Bye. And I posted.
And suddenly you're cool.
Suddenly. So she mentioned it. She said she casually mentioned it to a couple of her friends at school who are now obsessed with me.
casually mentioned it. Right. Wow.
Yeah.
I would love to have witnessed that casual mention.
With Lita's personality, I can see exactly how she did it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And so now you have a whole new generation of followers, though.
Hopefully their parents don't know that they're hopefully. Oh, my God. That's scary to me.
The young followers?
Yeah. Well, and then, like, their parents finding out. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you can't, I guess you could prevent it if you really wanted to examine all of your followers. But, I mean, I wouldn't be mad at someone that Lexton followed for doing something that I didn't agree with, because I'm the one who let him on there. I mean,
right.
I don't know. I well, see your point, but
also if they look at anything that I do, they will see that I don't take photos of her friends, and unless the friend is like, I really want to be on your Instagram account. And I've taken photos of her friend Gigi, who's a huge part of our lives, because my sister wife Ivy is, that's her child.
Right. So you have parental permission and the whole
right.
thing.
But I don't talk about, you know, I don't talk about their schoolmates. I don't talk about their teacher. I don't talk about any of that. And if they read the content, they're going to see that I'm not exposing anybody's privacy and violating it.
Right. Well, like you said, it's curated. Everything that you put, even though you give this impression that here's an open book into my life, it's not.
Right. It's not.
Rightly so. I mean, that would be, you just open yourself up for all kinds of things you don't need.
Mm-hmm. Well, and then we have to teach our kids that as well, is that, you know, what you put online is there forever. And again, there is going to be a comment section. And how do you deal with that comment section?
Exactly. Well, and I also don't want Lexton to see, I mean, this sort of is a weird thing to say, but I don't want him to see that I document everything.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can just, like, I take photos, I write about things, I want the memories, but you can also just do things without putting them on Instagram or talking about them on Twitter or,
mm-hmm.
I don't know. I feel like some people that I follow, and to each his or her own, this is not a judgment, but I feel like based on everything I see pop up in the feeds, I always wonder, you know, when are you not on social media? Mm-hmm. Is there anything you do where you're not on? I mean, you cook dinner and there's photos of the process and the meal and after the meal and thoughts about what your family thought. I mean, it's crazy.
Yes. There are some Instagram accounts and YouTubers who are documenting like basically the entirety of their lives with really young kids. And I just kind of want to raise my hand at them and say, hey, I'm a cautionary tale. I have been a cautionary tale for so many things on the internet. And let me be a cautionary tale for this. That is an unsustainable business model, because at some point you are going to want to take a vacation and not have to document it and not have to be working and thinking about how this content is going to come across as your brand. Does that make sense?
It does. We talked about that way back when you were scaling back writing on, yes, on deuce.com. And that was sort of the reason, is that sense of curating it was always in the back of your mind. You know, how can this become a post? How can I take photos for this? Not in a bad or malicious way, but that's the nature of it.
That's the nature of it. And it becomes, for a while there, it was just an automatic, natural, organic way of writing. It was like I was just taking notes in my brain, and that's how I write, is I take notes in my brain for the tangents that I go on to include in a post. But then it became, suddenly there was a shift where it became this chore of how am I going to relay this in a post, or how do I turn this into a post? And it sucked the life out of the enjoyment of my everyday.
And when your work is your everyday life, then you're sort of taking the joy out of your life too, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Like completely, it would seem.
Yes.
And I think when your kids are very young, I mean, even like, I think Marlo's probably still at that age. And when Lita was at that age, your kids are such a big part of your life, but they haven't fully developed their own lives yet. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of natural to integrate everything you do with them into a post or into this or into that. But as they get older, like Lita's age and Lexton's age, they have their own separate world. And, you know, you're a part of it and they're a part of yours, but there starts to be this defined boundary.
There does. You hear about how you have to pull out of your children, like, what are you interested in and what makes you happy and what did you do in school today? And you're like, we're never going to get to that point. They're going to want to share that with me. Oh, you get to that point so fast where you're sitting at dinner and you're talking about their day and they're just like, they don't want to share. So there's this whole world that happened at school that they don't want to tell me about.
Yeah. Do you think, though, that it's that they don't want to tell you, or that it just...
They're just bored. They don't want to talk about it.
Right. It's not like it was anything that they're trying to keep hidden. It's just, it doesn't matter. It already happened at school. I don't want to go over it again.
Exactly. That's exactly what it is. She says to me, how was your day, Mom? And I'm like, I don't want to talk about it. And I'll say, it was good.
I don't want to relive that.
I don't want to relive it. I was like, it's good. I had some phone calls and I had, you know, I had to get a proposal done. And I try to make it as upbeat as possible instead of like, it was a slog.
You can't talk about how terrible it was.
Yeah.
Because I don't want them to go to school and be prepared. Like, here's another awful day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, like waking up on Monday and trying to act like it's Monday and it's a fresh start to the week. And it's hard. But I know that if I'm just miserable on Monday, that will just translate over to Lexton's week and that will be terrible.
Yes.
So you have to be super positive about it.
Yes.
And there's times in the car where I say things and he gets out of the car and I pull away. I'm like, what the hell was that? I have never thought that way about approaching a day, ever. There was a certain point where he had, in elementary school, he didn't necessarily hit it off with a few of his teachers. And I realized that by fourth or fifth grade, I had told him, probably every year, oh, third grade was my favorite year. Oh, fourth grade, my favorite year. Fifth grade, best year ever.
I know.
Just to give him that pep talk. And I had to just tell myself, like, he's going to catch on, so I need to just stop now. because, you know.
And now he's like, man, what am I doing wrong?
Right, exactly. None of these years have been good. Yeah. But you do, you have to.
Yeah, you do. She came bound. What happens is my babysitter, the stash of nannies, my
Nanny
babysitter.
Number one or five or?
This is number one, Kelly. Okay. Kelly, who I owe my life to. Kelly will.
Hi, Kelly.
Hi, Kelly. She's keeping Coco quiet. So she brings the kids home, and she parks the car, and Lita actually jumps out of the car and runs in the house before she even puts it into park. And she runs downstairs, and she says hi to me every day. I mean, how amazing is that? And normally, she'll come downstairs, and she'll be like, I love this one. Mom, why are boys so awful? Oh.
Wow.
I'm like, we're already there. We're there. But like Monday, we can come back to that. But Monday she came bounding down the stairs to my desk, and she's like, she's this huge smile on her face, and I'm like, what's going on? She's like, I don't know. It was just a great day. We did this and this. And it was like, it was a Monday, and it was so great. And her energy was so was so infectious that I was having the worst day, like the worst day ever. And I was just like, I'm so happy for you. Like, I had to like put whatever I was feeling, just like stomach it and shove it down. Cause here she was in this awesome mood, had not been bullied by a boy during the day. And what do they call it when boys step on the back of your shoes? What do they
Is
call
it a flat tire?
A flat tire.
That's what
they're
what
doing
call
that
it.
Now. And they're doing it in sixth grade, and it drives her bananas. And it was a good day for her because that hadn't happened. And so I was like, okay, we're going to continue this, and we're going to have a great night. And then whatever I feel about how bad my day was, it doesn't matter.
They do that in sixth grade?
They do. Yeah, they do that in sixth grade.
It's not that, now I'm nervous because I don't know if I don't hear about that because he's friends with a group of boys that do that, or if I don't hear about it because he doesn't do it. I mean, he eats lunch. He has been friends with this same girl since kindergarten or first grade. They live down the street from each other, and she's adorable, and they're adorable together. And he eats lunch with her every day. And he told me one day, he said, you know, I eat lunch at a table with only girls. And he just said it kind of straight-faced. I said, oh, is it? That's cool. He's like, it's, you know, kind of weird, but I don't care. All right. I guess that's a good place to be. But it for him, it's not like the relationship aspect of boys and girls. It's not there. He just doesn't even consider it.
He doesn't. Does he ever talk about like that he has a crush on a girl?
No, never. I mean, he does get it. Like every now and again, I'll make a joke, you know, if his friend brings, just the other day, his friend brought Hershey Kisses to lunch. And I said, well, did she give you a kiss? And immediately he's like, hey, no. Like just, so the understanding is there. I just think it hasn't fully crossed his mind that it can become something more than just a joke.
He responded like a parent, hey, we're not going to go there.
Right. Don't get inappropriate.
We're not having that discussion. Inappropriate.
So I don't know. I mean, obviously, like, Lita is totally at the age where she gets it.
She's finally, like, she was at a school where she did not, like, she would make friends with the person who would leave the next year. So every year up until third grade, she was like Lexton that way. Like, every year, it was just this really hard, grueling, like, making friends and finding someone to stick with. She would finally find it like 2 months before school would end, and then that person would leave the next year. So she had to start over again the next year.
And she would know every fall, like, great, I don't have a friend again.
And it happened every year. And so finally when we switched schools, she's just found this group of girls that, you know, they text each other, and they've had several sleepovers, and they're girls. Like, they are little girls. Well, little girls, I guess, are like Marlo's age, but these are like giggling and, you know, being snobbish about Justin Bieber, but not snobbish about a certain somebody in One Direction or whatever. And, you know, she's getting much, much more interested in her clothing and what her hair looks like and what her shoes look like. And without any, you know, I walk around, and maybe it's a reaction to me walking around in my yoga clothes. But I'm not, you know, I'm not like, you know, we need to do your nails or we need to put makeup on you. She's just showing a natural interest in it. And yeah, boys are a definite part of that.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of talking going on.
Yeah,
with me and her.
The important kind of talking.
The very important kind of talking.
Hi there, this is Kendra Adachi, and I host the Lazy Genius Podcast. And I need to make sure that you have heard about the new KFC Chicken Nuggets. You have never had nuggets like these before, 100% white meat and hand-breaded in KFC's original recipe. KFC has been a family favorite for years, and now we can get all of the delicious KFC flavor we love in one amazing chicken nugget. Order new Kentucky Fried Chicken Nuggets, now available at participating KFCs near you.
When Lexton was in third grade, I was waiting to pick him up, and it was the sort of elementary school where the parents all wait. Well, you can sit in your car, I guess, or you can just walk three houses down and wait. And there was another dad there, and he had two sons, I think. And someone was asking him what it was like to raise boys, you know, because they only had girls. And he said, boys are easy to raise. And he said, I'd much rather raise boys than girls. And she said, why? He said, because when you have a boy and they grow up, you just have one penis to worry about. But when you have girls, you have to worry about all the penises.
Yes, I've heard this, yes.
And I just stood there and all of a sudden I'm like, oh yeah, I'm going to have it so easy. Like that had never crossed my mind to process it like that. And the mom he was talking to was completely horrified and disgusted. But it was brilliant. You know, and maybe he got that from somewhere else, someone who said it better, I don't know. But I thought it was excellent.
Mm-hmm. Very, that's excellent. And Lita is maturing at a far faster rate than I ever did. Like I think I hit puberty when I was like 22, honestly, maybe 23. And so she's already going through stuff and it's like, oh, I gotta pull out my memories of what I went through and how I felt and the conversations that need to happen. And yeah, it's scary territory because there's a fine line you have to walk with how you talk to them about it.
Well, and I think I was just thinking about this, that it's sort of convenient, I guess, that you are a single mom with girls and I'm a single dad with a boy. Like that,
right?
I feel like that makes it way easier than it could be.
Totally.
I mean, I would have no idea how to approach a 12-year-old girl. You're like, yeah, I don't know. Let me find someone that you can talk to on the phone. I mean, because I have no idea.
That's a really interesting point. That's a really good point. I would have no clue about a little boy. I have no idea. No clue.
And it's already hard. Right. Like you have to, like you said, you have to really pick your words carefully and decide how you're going to talk to him about it and when and how. But I would be screwed in your shoes. I mean, I don't even know. I would just avoid it until they were out of the house and then I would lock the door.
Yeah. And a lot of how I talk to her about it, and not saying that my parents did anything wrong at all, because my mom is listening to these. By the way, I keep getting my mom's age wrong. I keep saying she's 60, when in fact she's 70, which makes all of her accomplishments of what she's doing right now even more of an accomplishment, mom.
So she's 70 and she does more than 20,000 steps a day?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I don't think I've ever seen anybody on my leaderboard.
I can't even process that.
Yeah. No one on my leaderboard on Fitbit has ever surpassed my mom. And my mom listens to these. So hi, mom. Hello, Linda.
Hi, Linda.
My parents didn't do anything wrong, okay? But there were certain things and conversations that they didn't have with me, and I wished that they had. And certain questions about, specifically about the divorce, that they kept from me. Like, I had very specific questions about what was going on, because their divorce, I was going to ask you about this when you mentioned your parents' divorce at the beginning of this. My parents' divorce was made more complicated by the fact that they were Mormon. And that involves certain things in the Mormon church, right? There's just certain consequences. Like, do you get a temple? You get married in the temple for time and all eternity. Do you get a temple divorce? Do you not get a temple divorce? So
does it affect planets?
I think it does affect planets. You and I had this conversation in the first time we ever spoke to each other. I told you about the planet.
I was baffled. Yes.
We get planets as Mormons, in case you didn't know.
Which is it's a pretty sweet deal.
It's the sweetest deal ever, which is why when people, I think there was a study done that said that more people of the Mormon faith who leave their faith turn atheist than of any other faith.
Huh.
And people are like, well, why? And I'm like, because you get a planet.
Because you get a planet.
Why would you go to another religion when you don't get a planet, you know?
Like, nothing is going to compare to that.
It's a really good deal.
I didn't want this one, but I don't get a planet anywhere else,
mm-hmm.
So I'm good.
And so there were some questions about the divorce and church and whatnot that I had, but they either didn't want to answer them or they thought that I wasn't ready to hear it. And so when I did find out the answer to those questions, I was mad. I was really, 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 really mad.
Did you find out eventually from them, or did you find out?
I found out eventually from them.
Okay.
And I was really angry at the time, because it was like, but I have been under the assumption of this, and you have told me this, and now I find out that it's this. And I felt like they hadn't trusted me to be mature enough to handle it when I was asking the questions. And so I treat Lita is very mature, and we actually had the talk when she was 8 years old. We had to have the talk when she was 8 years old.
The talk.
At eight.
Wow.
Yeah. And it was, we had to, and
You had, like, circumstances, like, it came up and it just needed to be addressed.
It came up, yes. And
wow.
And I did not have that book, the book that that my parents used with me. Again, they didn't do, I think my parents thought that they were protecting me by not answering those questions. They really did. I really think that they thought that I wasn't ready. And so my parents sat me down with this book, and it had, like,
remember what it was called?
Oh, gosh. I have a copy of it. Somebody sent me a copy because I talked about it one time. It has illustrations of, like, animals, and it's very cute.
What?
Animals, and I don't know how to explain it, but it's for, basically, it's juvenile. It's very juvenile, and yeah. And so when they read me that book, I was like I'm more mature to handle this, I think, than this.
I need to understand how they use cute animal. I'm very fascinated now.
Yeah. And they knew that they had to, they knew that they had to come home and read the book to me, because we were on our way to church. Here's church again. And we used to have to drive like 30 minutes in the countryside of Tennessee to go to church. And we were passing this farm, and there was a cow on top of another cow. And my sister, like, tried to divert my attention. And I'm like, what is going on there? What is that? That's weird. And, like, my brother and sister, like, lost their minds and were laughing so hard. And I feel so embarrassed because I didn't know why they were laughing. But it's just two cows in love.
Wow.
Yeah.
Cute animal. I guess it has come up in some capacity when you think of it that way. It's just mm-hmm. never had to translate into anything. For, like, eventually, when you have to explain that the animals aren't fighting, right? Like, now that's, you know, I know it looks like they're fighting, but they're not actually fighting. Quite the opposite, actually. But I mean, right? You see it, and my favorite are when like spring, early summer, when the things like dragonflies mate mm-hmm. and fly around attached.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember when he was really little, he'd be like, oh, look, they're taking a ride. Like, that's a good word for it. Yeah, that works. You know, but then eventually you're like, okay, yeah, that's not a ride of a certain sense.
Oh, my gosh.
And you have to go into it. But I don't ever remember those conversations with my parents. And I don't know if it's because they did them well enough that it just was, it didn't, you know, shock me, or if I didn't have them. But I don't look back and think, I wish they had had this conversation or said this, you know, about that, about the divorce. There were like thousands of questions, mm-hmm. but.
How was their divorce?
Honestly, for me, it wasn't terrible because I was, how old was I? I was 8. No, I was 20. But I was still living at home because I was going to college in the town that I grew up in.
Oh, so you were older.
I was older. My brother was 14 or 15. I guess he was probably 15. And then my sister was older than me. But it was because I was still home. Like, I saw a lot of it leading up to it. And I think that that was, some of that was probably part of the reason that when I moved from Michigan down to Illinois, that I didn't come back. My plan was to just come down temporarily. And then I just decided, like, home is gone. Oh. You know? I mean, essentially, that's how it felt.
Was that a devastating feeling for you?
I mean, in some ways, it still is. Because even when I go back to visit, it's, you know, my dad is in the same house. But it's not... it's not the same house. It has not felt like the same house since the day that my mom left.
Interesting.
And that's weird. It, you know, when you grow up, I was in that house almost from birth. I think like the first year or two I lived somewhere else, but that's a strange feeling. I mean, and like I said, I was 20 when it happened, so I was old enough to process everything, but it didn't necessarily make it easier to digest in the long run.
Do you actually think that it was more difficult for you at 20 than it would have been if you were like 10 or 12?
In some ways, probably. I think because when you're 10 or 12, I almost think that an understanding is a double-edged sword. Mm-hmm. Because you understand more. So in some ways that makes it easier to get over things, but in other ways it makes it easier to be angry about things.
Right.
Because, well, and especially at 20, because you know everything at 20. So you could have done things better, or they could have done things better, or something could have been done different. Like, that's sort of how I saw it. You know, this could have happened in 10 different ways that would have produced a better result, and they didn't do any of them, and that's ridiculous.
Interesting. Because you're an adult at this point, and you're like, wait a minute, I'm reasonable. I can see
exactly.
things in a reasonable way, and this is not reasonable to me.
Exactly, yeah. That is probably... I think that... me being at that age and approaching it in that perspective has probably had negative impacts on at least my relationship with my mom, I think, since it all happened. And it's gotten better. And I'm sure that some of my reaction wasn't even justified. You know, it was the way that I processed things with my ultimate maturity and understanding at 20 years old.
Well, I think any reaction is pretty justified by a child when a parent divorces. When parents divorce, like, you're entitled to your feelings.
Yes. And I think that's especially applicable at, you know, Lexton and Lita's age, and especially Marlo's age.
Right.
I mean, I think that's applicable too for me at 20. But I feel like there were probably some things that I could have reasoned myself through or gotten through more positively.
But
I hold on to grudges like a champ.
Oh, you can?
Oh,
no.
Forever. Forever. Just when you think I've forgotten it, it's still there. I'll drop that little seed. Like, oh, yeah, I remember that.
Oh, man, you could honestly, I can't hold a grudge. I'm terrible that way. Like, you could really, really, really cross me, and like the next day I will go like your status on Facebook. I hate conflict.
Just to avoid it. You're like, I still like you, so like.
Like, can we just not have that conversation ever again? But you also are not giving yourself credit for the fact that you were 20, even though that's older than 10, you're still 20. And I don't think, what is the thing in the middle of your brain that closes? There's a part of your brain that closes, and it's not until you're like 19, 20, 21 that it actually fully folds over. Do you know what I'm talking about?
No, I don't, but I want to
know. That this is a thing. I know this is a thing. Some, if there's a scientist out there who can back me up. But, like, if you think about the decisions, thank God. Like, well, first of all, thank God we didn't have Instagram when I was 12. Let's just, oh, my God. Thank God I didn't have Instagram when I was 20 and 21 and 22 and 23 and 24 and 25 and 26.
No, I mean, and that's why I say, like, at 20, I was all-knowing, because that's what you think when you're 20.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, just like I said in, I don't know, the first or second episode, you know, I became a parent overnight at 21, because how hard can it be? Because I was an idiot. I mean, I don't regret becoming a parent, but to think, oh, it's really not that bad, just going to take him to the park. I can't even fathom the stupidity that was there.
How was it? Did you just take him to the park?
Oh, yeah, I just took him to the park. Everything else worked out. Just kind of fell into place, fed himself, you know.
All of those
He
things.
Was an incredibly talented 18-month-old kid.
Probably sleeping all the time. Eating.
Yes.
Eating perfectly.
If I had had Instagram back then, oh, let me tell you, those pictures, they would have been adorable.
The perfectly curated meal that you made for him of organic fruit and vegetables.
All yes. Organic baby puree, yes. It was almost like that. Little more realistic, slightly, and the hardest reality I think I've ever had.
And you are still here. How many years later? 11 years later?
Yes. Still alive, mostly. Maybe not so much on the inside, but physically speaking, walking, breathing, you know.
Yeah.
I worked with this woman a decade ago, and she was probably in her 60s at the time. And she was one of those people that, if you were on her good, if she liked you, she was an amazing woman. She was so nice. And her name was Linda, actually. And, but she always wore like a frown, always. And every time I would ask her how she was doing, she'd just shrug and go, breathing, but not bragging. I still remember it, because there's so many days where, yep, same. Got it.
I'm going to steal that one. Stealing
right?
That
it's,
one.
It's perfect.
Breathing, not bragging, right? Okay.
Yeah. And the way she would say it, like she would say, like, I totally believe that. 100% sold.
Oh, man.
So I've lived with that motto for the last 10 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think this is not at all a good segue. Not at all. Not even a little bit. But someone on an Instagram post of ours, I posted those two Google searches that I did.
Oh, yeah.
Something like single dads are, and then Google completed it, single moms are. And dads are awesome, according to Google, and single moms are not.
Single moms are trash, if I
right.
may. I think that's one of the search results. Yeah.
Yes, I'm actually going to pull it up, because it was appalling, to be honest, even though I fell on the positive side of it. But it was single dads are different, hot, attractive, and the best, right? That seemed really great, so I thought I would look up single moms, and it was single moms are easy, trash, amazing, losers.
Yeah.
So slightly different. But someone commented and said that, you know, I was a mom and said, this is terrible. And it reminds me of, you know, if my husband takes the kids out, everyone thinks he's great. But if I take the kids to the grocery store, I get these evil stares, right?
Yes.
And I read that and I kind of, I'm like, yeah, it's true. And then I started to think about what that means. And my segue here is that as a dad, I see this as more of a negative for dads, because when you're out and with the kids and you're a dad, you do definitely get those looks like, oh, look at him. He's being a dad. Isn't that sweet? He's a dad. But I've come to a point where I realize that those looks are almost like that man. Look at him elevating above himself to be a dad. Right? Like,
right.
It's a special quality that somehow I possess. But when you're a mom, it's like, you had better be the best damn mom in the world, or I'm going to judge you. So like as a man, it's impressive. Somehow we have become something more. And
it almost,
it's kind of insulting.
It's kind of insulting. It almost like, well, you were pathetic But then you took him to the grocery store.
Yes, exactly. Like before you were at the grocery store, you were worthless. But now this is so sweet. Right? And I'm not saying that being on the mom side of that, it's any better. You know, I'm sure that those death stares that you get when you're at the grocery store and your kid's crying or something are not enjoyable. But
no,
I mean, from my standpoint as a dad, I've never been this, like, you know, put my chest down. Like, yeah, I feel good. This is great. It just makes me feel like everyone is expecting me to be a loser. But in this one moment when I'm not, then everyone is so proud.
That is insulting. That's super insulting.
And does that make sense, though? I mean,
oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it does. It makes absolute sense. Someone was telling me about an article, I haven't read it yet, by a man who said that we got to work on this, guys, because I was at a restaurant with my kid and he was all over the place. I was trying to get him to sit still, but his food was everywhere, covering his face, covering his body. He was making a lot of noise. And he saw two moms sitting across the cafe looking at him, and he was like, they probably think I'm just like, they're probably judging me. And they got up and walked over to him and said, "We think you're the most amazing dad. This is just amazing to watch." And he thought for a second, he's like, "I'm sitting here with my child having a meal, and that makes me seem like I'm great. Like, what?"
That's a problem.
Isn't it?
I mean, it's a problem that I feel like men need to address. Like, why is that?
Why is that?
Why when we're doing what we want to be doing and what our responsibility, like, why is that special? It shouldn't be.
No. No, you should show up. You should show up just like every other parent who shows up. And I won't even say moms. I should just say every parent should show up like every parent should show up.
Exactly. It shouldn't be a mom or dad thing. Like, if the mom does it, she's not doing it well enough. And if the dad does it, well, he's doing something, so pat him on the back.
Mm-hmm.
No, you should. And there's that huge difference. I mean, I know that that's different than the terrible Google results that we posted. But it's still, it's this odd place to be.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess for me, it's like the bar is so low that I don't really have to do anything and people will look and say he's doing a great job. But I don't really want the bar to be that low.
No. And it shouldn't be. It shouldn't be. And I think obviously people are typing those things in because they're looking for a date, right? Right? That's the only way I can explain. Like, why would you type in single dads are?
Unless single dads are prevalent in America? I was not looking for a date. It was more of just like a social experiment.
It was more a social experiment, I know, but it's like, what is the attitude, I think, about dating single moms and then dating single dads? Are single dads seen as, oh, the kids are, isn't that amazing? The kids are still a part of his life. That's so amazing, right? Where, as if, like, if you saw a single mom and you're like, oh, wait a minute, the kids are a part of her life. Of course they are.
Right. Mm-hmm. But you looking at single dads and single moms as a woman is so different than someone looking at single dads and single moms as a man. Because you look and say, well, the kids are still part of her life, right? But I think women looking and seeing single dads a lot of times will say that's really sweet that he still wanted to be really actively involved.
Yes.
But I wonder, and maybe it's an age thing, but are there men that look and they're like, oh, single mom, she's got baggage. Now there's these things, right? And I feel like that's why those search terms are there, because that's the general perception from the male standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it's just the younger male standpoint. I would hope. Oh, God, I would hope it's the younger male. Yeah, you know, human baggage.
Human baggage.
But I mean, I could have like 12 kids and someone would still look like, oh, that's so sweet.
Mm-hmm.
He's such a good man. But like you just show up. That's, I don't know. I don't want to be rewarded for doing something that I feel like I should be expected to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know.
You're echoing quite a bit of the sentiment that me and quite a few of my colleagues and friends have expressed over the years. Sharing the duties of the household too, like sharing in those. Study after study after study has been done, and I wish I could pull them all up. And first of all, let me adjust my butt really quick.
Is it that time again?
It's that time again. We should let people know that I say that in these podcasts that I need to, my butt hurts, to let us know that we need to wrap up the episode.
Otherwise, we would just ramble on.
And we would just ramble on. So study after study, I should have done my research, but has shown that when both parents are working, that the majority of the household work and the childcare still falls on the woman.
Oh, I've seen that.
Again and again and again and again. And I've witnessed this, which we're going to talk about in an episode that we're going to record.
Yes, that probably warrants its whole own show.
Yeah. But what I see it as now is being fully single in this is like, well, I know that it's all up to me. It's all up to me. I don't have to even think about or worry about anybody else taking care of it, because it's not going to get taken care of if I don't do it.
Exactly. And that, again, is a double-edged sword.
Uh-huh.
And maybe that needs its own episode as well.
Oh, that's coming. That is its own episode.
Did we already plan that?
We did.
Did
you not read the outline that I wrote?
I should have read the outline.
Oh, man.
Well, I think for no outline, this was less manic and spirally than it could have been.
It was.
I'm sure some people will disagree with that.
Yes, and they can leave their opinion in the comments section below if they would like to do that.
They can, and you can email us at stories@manicramblings.com and let us know that this particular spiraling episode was amazing or otherwise. That would be great. We do read all those emails. If we have not responded to you yet, we apologize, but we're working on it diligently.
And we read all the comments left on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter, and
yes,
and you can follow us there on all of those platforms at Manic Ramblings, or follow us at manicramblings.com. I guess until next time,
keep rambling.
Many thanks to Tan Lines for the soundtrack, to Lisa Congdon for the cover art, and to Ryan Coomer for his expertise with the editing stuff.
Hey guys, it's Kayla Ewell from Directionally Challenged, a podcast about realigning your internal compass. New KFC chicken nuggets are finally here, and you have never had nuggets like these. All of the delicious KFC flavor you love in one amazing chicken nugget. 100% white meat, hand-breaded in KFC's original recipe. Order new KFC fried chicken nuggets now, available at participating KFC near you. Guys, they're finger-licking good.